Father, we're all guilty sometimes of deciding how and what direction God ought to go. Really, what we ought to be doing is saying, Lord, not my will, but thine. I pray that you'll open up God's word. Look into Matthew 5. God, we're thankful to God that we have it, that we can read it, study it, hold it, and enjoy it and love it like men. I pray, dear God, that you bless the singing tonight, the special music, and of course the prayer. And again, thank you for everyone that's made their way out here tonight. God, humble our hearts for you. Lord, humble my heart. And humble use these lips of clay. Only those things be pleasing for sight. God, we love you and thank you for all you do meet needs of everyone's heart. We pray. I'm going to thank ready after each verse, I'll give you a chance to give a word of testimony. So number 328, let's sing, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. On the first verse. Thank you. One more quickly. Right. Great word. Let's sing this in verse and then a couple more ready, okay? On the second.
Thank him for the
song and have another moment for testimonies, I think. So that's good. We want to do that. We ought to be thankful for what we have and be willing to voice that. I heard a preacher last night, Brother Joel Logan, said something that really rung my bell. And I'll be honest with you, though, as a pastor and preacher, I've been saved a long time. Although I'm certainly grateful, thankful that God saved me. But you know, I didn't get saved out of a bunch of stuff. I didn't grow up in a Christian home either. So it's kind of hard for me to reconcile how that happened, other than it had to be the Lord. Because my dad was alcoholic, my mother was away from God, but at least I grew up in an era where there was some idea of, you know, respect and that sort of thing. But anyway, and so when I got saved as a 17-year-old teenager, I was already in church. And going to Christian school, you know my testimony, I'm going to give it tonight. But for many years, I mean, this is true. I guess I let the devil do it to me. I don't know. I guess I'd have to admit that. But, you know, you hear about somebody like Chad, for example. I'm not embarrassed, Chad. Chad has, and by the way, we all have, so don't, I'm not selling him out. But I know, for example, Chad's probably done some things in his life that I have not done. God saved him. I'm glad he can stand up and say, thank God for saving me. All that's forgiven. I know others who have had, you know, just wicked, wretched lives that God saved. My dad was a drunk. I've never drank liquor. I got one drink of beer in my whole life, and it was awful. I made up my mind I wasn't going to. I mean, I don't know how people think that. But anyway, I just didn't do them things. I grew up in that era of drugs and all of that, but none of that ever appealed to me. And so, when I get up to testify, you know, people might be expecting, you know, there's this guy from, you know, outside of Detroit, he's probably in a gang, probably shot people. I haven't. I don't have that kind of testimony to give, and maybe you don't either. Here's what Brother Joel said last night, was so good. He grew up in a preacher's house, preacher's kid. I didn't get to really right with God until he was in his 20s. But said last night, he said, you know, he said, the one thing that keeps you from testifying, talking about that idea, is that if you don't, the devil will convince you, if you don't have a whole lot of junk in your past, you don't have a testimony. And that's not right. It's absolute. In fact, I'd say I probably have, and I don't mean this, a better testimony than anybody, as good as anyone's, because God, I can thank God that He kept me from all that. I don't know what it is to be on a book. I don't know what it is to have a hangover. I don't know what it is to have DDs. I don't know what it is to have to, you know, try to steal to get money to buy drugs because I've spent all my money on drugs. I didn't run around with women. I mean, I didn't even. And for a long time, I'd feel like, well, you know, I get next to so-and-so or sister so-and-so. And I thought about Judy the same way. Judy's never done that, you know, and but our testimony is as good as anybody's if you can say, I'm saved. Amen? So I just want to give that to you because, I'm sure there may be times when you think, well, I'd love to testify, but I don't have anything to testify about. Yeah, you do. If you're saved, you've got something to testify about. And, you know, and I think one of the problems we have is sometimes we think the worse the past, the better the testimony. It's not always the case. Listen, if God saved you from all that stuff and some wicked things, amen. But don't let that hinder you from at least standing up and saying, thank God I'm saved. Because everything else doesn't mean a thing if you're not saved. And so just keep that in mind when we do these testimony meetings on occasion. Don't let the devil, I tell you, I've let him do it to me. I thought, well, I'm the pastor, I'm the preacher, so what am I going to possibly say that's going to impress anyone? Number one, you're not testifying to impress. You're testifying to praise God and honor the Lord. And so that's what it's all about. So if you have a four-word testimony, so glad I am saved. I said I'm, but that's, I would have ran out of words. Anyway, if that's all you got, that honors God, doesn't it? Yeah? Oh, with me tonight? I know it's Wednesday night. You can say amen a little bit. It won't hurt you. And say amen back there. All right, we've got to teach Chad how to shout a little bit back there. But anyway, I just wanted to mention that to you real quickly, all right? Let me mention a couple of things myself, and then I'll turn it over to Brian real fast. Prayer request. Continue to pray for the Melvin Wrights, Brother Edward and Brother Melvin. He had a toenail removed. They were thinking it might have some cancer, but the doctor said at this point doesn't think so, but they sent it off. So he'll be laid up for a few days, probably be on the weekend. Sister Susan Bevan's been going through her rehab, and that's really been a little on her. Arthur Richardson, just pray for her. She can't put any kind of weight or pressure on her ankle for a couple more weeks yet. So she's going to be laid up for some time. By the way, thank you, ladies, all of you that this week, but yesterday and Monday night, food or did what you did, whatever that was. Thank you. I really appreciate y'all doing that. And then continue to pray for Mike Alexander. Then Brother Steve Morris. Brother Steve had his biopsy today, this afternoon, and they texted right before we came to church that they did it. All that went well. They will not have results till the 20th. I don't understand what I'm not in office or whatever. I can't understand when, you know, it's one thing if you're wanting to find if you've got, that's a minor illness, I don't mean it that way, but no, cancer is such a dreaded word. You don't want to have to sit with that word for a week. That seems the way it is, and I guess like they're overwrought word, I don't know. It seemed to me like if I was a cancer doctor and I was with somebody, I'd want them to word as quickly as possible, knowing that you're going to go to bed at night wondering about it, you'll get up in the morning wondering about it, you'll live your day wondering about it, he's trying to pastor a church and trying to preach and go and minister to people, yet in the back of his mind he's wondering because they're didn't say he doesn't. They believe he has it. They just don't know to what degree. You don't want to be walking around worrying about the stage. You want to know that. You don't want to worry about it at stage one, you know, but at least you know. You understand what I mean. So pray for Brother Steve. Debbie, too. Debbie's really worried about that. They tell you, they have a very unusual marriage. Great marriage, I'm telling you. A very model marriage. And so certainly checks and talk about, you know, being one flesh and one of the other is hurting or got problem. That means both of them hurting and got problem. Certainly, I want you to keep that in mind. But pray for them. I'm going to talk. I told him I'd wait all in tomorrow. I didn't know all they had to do and done. I didn't want to bother him if he was trying to get up or whatever. And so anyway, I'm going to call tomorrow. So I'll let you know something more on Sunday. Do have one Easter lily here in that was placed in memory of Miss Bobby Alexander's husband, David, who passed away. And so we appreciate that. Now, some left. I told Miss Sadie came in tonight. Glad Miss Sadie's able to be here. She rode with Ralph and Edame. Hey, Miss Sadie, I was just talking about you. Boy, she came in tonight. Trust me. I was here. Came in and said, oh, what beautiful flower. I told Miss Sadie she could have one. If you want to take one home tonight, go ahead. I mean, you know, I don't want this to become the thing where we buy them. Nobody ever buys one and then on Wednesday night takes one for free. But if you'd like to have one, because if they stay in here, they're just going to die. We don't want to do that. You can put them in the ground or do something with them. So Miss Sadie's going to take one home, and then Miss Bobby's going to take one home. You already take one? That's what I mean. Did you already got it? Well, they gave this to me tonight, so I didn't know if you'd gotten one tonight. In case you got hers. So, you know, it's first come, first serve. Do not send your children up here today. I'm not sure. I know we gave one. Brenda wanted one for somebody, I think. Today. I don't know how many. I don't even know how many's up here. Anyway, you can stack for me. But if you'd like to have one to take home, please go ahead and do that. Don't take two. Come up here and get an armful. You know, because you were first in line. Just get one and give everybody a chance. Now, or if you want to wait around and see if there's any left, is there are, you can get them too. Anyway, we want to go ahead and get them out and get them to you so you can do something, okay? All right, Brian, go ahead.
All right, here at church at 6:30 is the Ladies Jubilee Planning Meeting. And all ladies and at 6:30, time of prayer and planning for your Ladies Jubilee up in June. For any non-ladies tomorrow night, there's a person at the service at the Waterford at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. I'm going to put down there and wish the Waterford was fine. Folks, Saturday for all the men being here at 10 o'clock for Sewing Saturday, we'll go share the gospel to our community. So I need every able-bodied man here at 10 o'clock to help us for as much as possible and be here for Sunday school at 9:30 Sunday morning.
All right, 276, another song of testimony. Jesus is all the world to me. 276, let's stand and we'll sing. Be ready if you'd still like to give a testimony to shout one out. Salvation camp. Okay, good. All right, let's sing the last verse, and then we'll have a full time of fellowship.
Jesus is all the world to me. I want to better pray. My God is better. My God is better. Like cleaning days away. Beautiful life is God's a friend. Beautiful life and as the way. Thank you.
thank you so much. If you'll find your seat, come on, ushers. We'll take care of the offering, and then we'll have our special this evening. All right. Thank you for your testimonies, by the way. And please don't ever feel like you can only do it when we do something like that. Anytime you're here and you want to testify, you feel free to do so. Just right up. We'll stop what we're doing. No problem. We can stop and start anytime anyway. Anytime you want to brag on the Lord, that's what we want to do. Always remember when you're testifying, we're not asking you for a list of demands or problems. We want you to testify about how good the Lord is. Listen, we've all got troubles. The Bible said man is born a few days, born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. We got them. Amen. Anybody here don't have any problems? Amen. Miss Rebecca, you don't have no problems? Praise God. You thought I said did have. That's all right. Yeah, that's all right. Oh, I saw her go like that. I said, praise God. I think she's the first one I ever met. I thought, boy, college must be going really good for her. Oh, she thinks, I said, if you have problems, I said, like I do sometimes, y'all. But anyway, anytime we get a chance, we just want to brag on you. Just remember, one of these days, all this stuff's going to be away. God, we're in heaven. You're not going to have to worry about none of this stuff anymore. All be brand new. Thank the Lord. And Father, once again, we love you. Thank you for the privilege to give back a portion of that which you blessed us with, either by tithe or offering. Lord, the money we give on Wednesday nights most time is given to particular missionaries or to missions. Lord, as always, tonight and for the next while, any loose money, anything that's designated or in an envelope, go to the youth ministry for their camp this year in June or in July. So we're thankful, Lord, to be able to do that. I appreciate the folks giving the way they have. I think between the reform class and giving on Wednesday night, we're up to maybe four or five of the folks being able to go, and about 10 going, so we're halfway there. And we appreciate that, Lord. I appreciate the way folks give. I hope they'll continue to do that as the Lord will lead them. Lord, bless our service, the remainder of it, for thy glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, and his able is here. All right, get your Bibles ready.
Scott, you put that arrangement in. Did you call the sheet? I thought maybe I looked over and I saw Jake over there, and I said, well, Jake going to jump over there and play a duet with him? And then he started really wailing on that thing. I said, I don't know. And then, no, Jake was the page turner. Well, every good piano player needs a page turner. Amen, that's right. All right, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 5 tonight. I'm going to pick up where we left off on part 4 of our series on the Sermon on the Mount. And tonight, I want to just use three verses, verse 38 through 41, and I want to use verse 41 as really sort of the text tonight. We're still dealing with Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount as he's preaching the Jews and about the millennial kingdom, about the kingdom of heaven, and how that he require those Jews to enter into the millennial kingdom with certain attributes and traits. Now, we know that salvation is not by works. What we're talking about, these Jews entering into the millennial kingdom, is not necessarily the fact that they're Christians. Now, there will be many of them saved during the tribulation and even into the millennial kingdom because God chose them and God has given them that right. Now, I know as Gentiles, we say, well, that doesn't seem fair. Remember, we read last week where God asked the question, how can you say I'm not fair? How can you say I'm not equal? And so, you know, whatever God wants to do, he can do. Is that right? Amen? You know how it is. Mom and Dad, how would you feel if you decided to, paint the living room orange? So one of your children said, I don't think you ought to do that. Number one, you didn't ask. Number two, I don't like that color. What would you your children? in different forms and fashions, could basically say, well, that's my decision to make, and I made it. And they are not in a position to change to tell you what to do. That's a pretty simple illustration, but it's a fact. Now, these days, maybe not so much. That's the way it used to be. By the way, I do want you to really pray. Saturday at 4 o'clock, I'll be at my brother's house. It has been an unusual, this is really strange, you know, because they had their fellowship in Monroe Monday night, Tuesday night, Junior and I went, and both services, Jeff and DJ, were there. Actually, saved us. Yeah, they went to dinner. We could go to supper, but we went to supper. And so I'm going over there at 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, on door knock, and Saturday morning. I'm going to go up to Maxall, and, Bill, we talked today for a few minutes. He said, you know, I'm just still not sure whether I'm saved or not. I made a profession of faith until 1989. It was. There's no evidence there. But anyway, and I tell you, OBJ, I'm surprised to walk forward last night. I mean, it was just weird in the road. But you know, probably what it is waiting on them. I really believe if one or the other would move, the other would have, but that didn't happen. So I hope and pray. I'm not going to go in there and try to talk them into anything. It used to be I'd want to go in there and just make them. I know I can't do that. And so I just want you to pray for me and some time this afternoon, Bible verses together I can use from what I know of our conversation up to this point. I'm telling you, I'm really praying that God's going to save my brother and his. I told my brother, I just have to on the phone today, and I said, I really haven't done you very well. I said, both of my brothers have not been at as burden, I guess, as I ought to have, and so I apologize to that. Oh, my God, he's told about that. And my other brother, Penny, who I'm away, and I told Jeff, I said, man, if I can get you to Jesus, I said, Penny's next on this, and I really want you to make my family. All right, Matthew chapter 5. Let's look at verse number 38 if we can. Verse number 38. Now, you'll notice already, I'm kind of jumping around here. Don't out of sorts. I'm going to cover all of it. But I just felt like this particular verses were really something that we ought to look at tonight. That is, look what it says. It said, ye have heard. Remember who he's talking to. Talking to Jews mainly. There may have been a few Gentiles in the crowd, but not very many, I'm sure. So he's talking to his disciples and to the Jews in the crowd. He said, ye have heard that it hath been said. Now, I read that. I'm surprised Jesus didn't say, as it is written, because it is written. He said, I don't know if he's being funny. I guess Jesus could have a sense of humor. I don't know why. But he's talking to these legalistic Jews who have spent all of their life, including right now in where we're at in the scripture, concentrating on the law. And so Jesus starts by saying, ye have heard that it has been said. Well, you know, it's like a cliche or something, because really, to these Jews, they have so gotten used to. And this is something I think I really want to touch on for a moment. Us. If remember, what we're doing here is reading God will require of the Jews in the millennial kingdom, but how can we apply that spiritually? We will be in the millennial kingdom, but not as human participants, or at least not as earthly participants. We will be in the millennial kingdom as heavenly participants. We will already been raptured, and the tribulation will have already passed. And so then we'll come back with the Lord in our new bodies. So all that's going to be different. We will be here, but these folks are human beings who will folks, not the ones that he's talking to here. Obviously, that's 1,000 years ago. But certainly, the idea is that there will be humans living during the millennial kingdom. And they will, of course, in that kingdom be the Jews themselves, although others will be living on the earth. Gentiles also will be living on the earth, but it will be Israel and Jerusalem that will be the center, the focal point, that 1,000-year reign of Christ. So Jesus said, "You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." Now, I think he's really being a bit facetious here with them because they've heard it. Obviously, I think what he's getting at is they haven't spent a lot of time really studying it and considering it, you know. Just like most, think about this. And her response was, "Ago when I was a little girl, coming in our house, they had a lando. While they were talking to my mother and dad, the baby had a little on her diaper. I went in my bedroom with what I had, and I got the fan left. I peace down for the car. That was it. That's her. I don't know about you. I didn't hear salvation. You're wearing her little console, but I didn't hear about salvation. See, that's the point. Well, here, Jesus is referring to Old Testament law. And he didn't even say to them, "As it is written," or "I know you've read this," because it looks to me like the crowd that's following him didn't know much about their own belief. That's why it is so hard to win Jews. They know just enough to keep them confused. Now, there are Orthodox Jews, those who are really involved in Levitical Judaism and things like that, and they know a little bit more, but again, it's all prefaced on the Old Testament, and here Jesus is in the New Testament. He's trying to introduce these people to a brand new and wonderful truth. He starts by saying, "You know, I think you've heard this before." That'd be like me getting up on Sunday morning saying, "By the way, you've probably heard this. God so loved, you know, almost." He says to them, "You've heard that it's been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." Now, in fact, if you'll look in your reference in the center section of that page, you'll notice Schofield's notes where it says an eye for an eye, and there's a little letter O right there. You go in that center section, and you can find in Schofield notes where this scripture is written. Right there in the letter O, it says Exodus 21:24. Leviticus 24:20 and Deuteronomy 19:21. There you go. It is in the Word of God. But these Jews have gotten so complacent and really don't even know anything about the truth of God's Word. They always refer to it, but they don't really know the truth of it. Jesus finally says, "You know, I think you've heard this before." Now what he's doing is he's setting them up for the real truth here. Notice it says in verse 39, But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also." Oh, we've heard that before, had we? I've heard that all my life. I can remember when I'd get in a scrape at home, and my mother would say, "Well, what happened?" I'd tell her the story. She said, "Well, what you should have done was just turn the other cheek." I didn't know what that meant, because when we got in a scuffle in my neighborhood, all your cheeks got smited. Man, we wasn't particular. We'd hit anything we could find. And so, you know, if she said, "Well, turn the other cheek," I said, "Well, he hit me on that side too." You know, but the point, the concept there is to have forgiveness and mercy. To be able to say, "Hey, you hurt me." Now, he's using a physical reference here, but in any way, "You hurt me. You harmed me. I'm not going to retaliate." Because in the law that he said, you know, you all heard about, an eye for an eye and a tooth, in the law itself, that was the law of God. That if you kill someone, you should die too. The Bible talks about if you smite someone and knock out an eye, then you have to forfeit one of your eyes. If you kill one of their animals, then you either have to replace it with one of your own, or you have to pay them. I mean, that is the concept behind that, and that was God's law that really was broadened after Cain killed Abel. But the Jews had gotten to the point that was almost like all they could think about was, "I got hurt and I'm going to get revenge." You know where that starts? Bitterness. Not being willing to forgive and or move past somebody hurting you. I think I can say without too much uncertainty here, everybody in this room's been hurt by somebody. If we were to go into great detail about how some would say, wow, they were hurt more than I was. But when you get hurt, that's the worst hurt, friend. Whether it's verbal or physical or emotional or financial, I mean, there's all kinds of ways that we can get hurt. And when we do, Satan sows seed of bitterness. There are people, sadly, now, I hope not in here. I hope not. But there are people who, years and even decades after something has happened, have never learned to turn it loose. They carry it and carry it and carry it. Now, they don't say much about it unless they get opportunity. It's not like they walk around with signs that says, I'm bitter. But if they get 1 ounce of opening, talk about how mad they still are at this person or this group of people because they hurt me. And here's what they'll say. Now, they've told it and told it. Here's what they'll say. You just don't know how badly they hurt. Jesus said, whatsoever or whosoever shall smite thee. He's using a physical frame of reference. This is in any form. Think about this. He said, if they smite you on the right cheek, turn the left one or turn the other one. That's a good thing you got two. If they say something that's harmful, then you got 2 ears. Because on the other side, you can hear something of encouragement or the Holy Ghost say, let it go. Are with me tonight? You're quiet. I mean, so quiet. He goes on in verse 40 and says, if any man will sue thee at the law, my name in that column right there. If any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. If somebody sues you and wants what you got, give them all you got. I'm going to ask you to be terribly honest.
I'm going to press that button. I probably turn on off 5 times. But here's, I was going to ask a question that I'm involved in too. For non, I know what it was. Anybody ever went stream, whatever it might be? How many of us would honest say they want what I have? Yeah, I'm just raising my hand. Actually, you know why? Because that's the way we're wired. You got to remember now who it is that's talking here. The perfects of God is giving this. He didn't. He never in all of this I've done so far a couple of times. He's never included himself in any of this.
Yeah.
Now we know that he practiced what he did. A few years later when they crucified him, he knows that he turned the other cheek. We know that bitterness, certainly because there was no guile in him, so bitterness could never get in there. He did practice, but he preached. He come to church, and when I was together, I thought, Lord, you have to help me, because I ought to be sitting out in the middle somewhere preaching this, for you can't see, but I'm listening with you. I'm part of the congregation tonight. I just happened to be the mouth. He said, look what he said. He said, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him. Now, the first illustration is that of being sued. He tried to sue. I'll fight it. Then the second verse says, but what if they compel you to go a mile? Jesus said, then be ready and willing. Once again, I think the lesson here is humble yourselves and be what God wants you to be, whether you're being mistreated fairly or not. Sometimes it could be fair. Sometimes it's not fair. Sometimes you could be suffering rightfully so, and sometimes not rightfully. But the lesson here is to act accordingly and the same in every situation. That's where we're trying to separate God. Because we are human. This is a lesson that God has taught you in order to set their attributes, their character, for the millennial kingdom. Because life will go on during that millennial kingdom. It won't be exactly like it is right now, but it'll still have some semblance of how we live in this day. And so Jesus is minding, again, talking to this crowd of Jews. Certainly, they're not living now, and so they won't be part of that. But it's here for those. But it's also an application. I have used the word every message. Because although Jesus is talking to those Jews about the cage, there is an application for us. Jesus is telling these Jews of the three kingdom attitudes. In verse 39, it's their attitude towards personal injury. Bite you on the cheek? No. Now, what? I mean, every other commercial is 999999. However that goes. I was giving somebody my phone number. A preacher to have come maybe call. And he watched your phone number. Said, that's 999999. That sounds like a George Saint commercial. And he's from Mississippi. That's Robbie Smith, that's right. That sounds like a George Saint commercial.
That's almost.
You see, every other commercial is about, did you get injured? Now they'll come on and say, so if you took St. Joseph's aspirin for children and your toenail fell off, you may have a case. I mean, that's one of the problems in America today is we're too short. What I mean by that, is that a good legal word, a lawyer? Huh? In other words, we've got too many people suing most of the time for no real good reason other than they want to make a buck. We have lost the idea of common courtesy and respect, and it has spilled over into the church. In fact, I dare say that we are part of the problem because we do not conduct ourselves as Jesus wants us to. We're right out there sometimes leading the pack saying, boy, if you hurt me, I'll sue you. And the Bible is clear. Now, this is a kingdom message that we apply. But in 1 Corinthians, Paul said, do not take a brother to court. That's not something we apply that was given to the Jews. That was Paul writing to us, and it's a command. It says, don't do it. That was all that. I didn't think so. I was involved. I found out that happens all the time. That's a shame. I wouldn't do it. I'm telling you. I'm telling you by the grace of God, I never know anything. Number one, because God said not to. Number two, because I would hope if it was on the other foot, I'd want to make whatever it was wrong right. But it doesn't have to do that. Because the Bible said when you do that, it hurts. Cause verse number 40, Jesus is teaching the attitude towards personal injustice, not treated fairly. And in verse 41, which is the text, it's teaching us our attitude or the attitude towards personal inconvenience. We get more mad and angry over it than we do somebody actually hurt us. Didn't do anything that really hurts us, but it just messes up our schedule. And there's a lot. I'm going to use myself as an example. I told you, if I'm in eight, I mean, I just got started, but I'm going to talk. This may take a little longer time frame. I told you I'd do this. You know what? There are people that I saw. I made a promise. I have not kept it. Just remember, I'm the human. You're not here for me. You're here for me. You're here for the wrong reason. Now, you're here to hear me. I'm here because God put me. I'm going to do what's right. When I'm wrong, I'll admit I'm wrong and move on and do right. But here's the other thing. I'm not going to be mad at the folks that are not here. I'm going to tell them they ought to be and they should be and encourage them to be here. There's a lot of preachers that and folks say things like, you go too long and you're blah, blah, blah. That they'll resign their church because they feel like they have been pretty bad. I'm telling you, if you walked out here at night and everybody knew that they just like the way this going on, I'm telling you, I'd get it. Don't look at me like that. If you were back there and everybody walked by you and said the same thing, you'd defend it. We don't do that. I'm supposed to anyway. Never heard anybody do that. I'm going to give you this once I'm done. I told you. Where it says, if you walk, they compel you to walk a mile. And this is the thought that I want to get to tonight, and obviously I'm not going. I'm going to get to it next Wednesday. Listen, when you see people who, now I know we got several people picking Adam, Evan, the Wrights, and the Pat, and Marl, a lot of folks, Andrew's going to end up holding on to the traveling. I got that problem. People think they ought to be, can't help it. Right? I'm not going to help it. The point here is that Jesus is giving this passage of Scripture, being very plain when he said, someone compels you. That has the idea of someone compels you to go a mile. And the reason he used that, number one, because the time in which they were living, and number two, because it wouldn't be long before he'd be doing and experiencing the same law. And Rome was in power. There was a law in Rome, a Roman law that said any Roman soldier anywhere, if he was a Roman soldier, had the right, according to law, to stop anyone, especially anywhere, and force them to carry a burden for a Roman. No matter what it was, no matter if it was orange or if it was a boulder, that Roman soldier had the right by law to say, Brian, for Jews, I want you to carry this for mine. Now, let's just say, for example, Brian's going east, I'm going west, and he's in a hurry. He's got something to get to. Now, I stop him, and I say to him, hey there, Brian, Miss Simon, I want you to carry this burden for me under Roman law. He cannot, by penalty of prison and or death. Remember what I said? He's attitude. That's what a lot of people out here. So Ryan does, you know what he does? And you know what he has to do? Drop whatever he cannot carry, his and mine, has to drop his and carry his. So now, he's got to walk 1 mile, which is about 500 plus pace, Roman mile, and then stop and walk all the way back where he started from and then try to do his. That's not inconvenient. I mean, it's just far enough. Bug the hound. That's what he's talking about here. That's what I'm going to get on. I'm going to hit right off the bat. I know I gave a lot of instruction. I'm going to get off the bat next. And Jesus said, and by the way, that's what happened when Jesus was carrying his cross and couldn't carry it all the way. Not that he carried the cross, but he carried our sin. Please don't misunderstand. Well, they do. The Bible said the soldiers held Simon the Cyrene to carry. And if you'll look at this, and of course, the way back, nobody was marking. From where they say on the Via Della Rosa, where he had to carry the cross, was Roman. Simon the Cyrenian was there, and I don't even know why he was there. That's what was going on. Then he had to stop what he was doing. Carry somebody else heard. That made following me. As called by my hand. And the Bible. Father, we love you to do it.
Being faithful to come. And this Bible is so full of things, so full of lessonable moments. Lord, I told the folks years ago that I would do my best to be done by 8 o'clock on Wednesdays for the children's sake, so they wouldn't have a reason not to guess, so it wouldn't be inconvenient. I'm not blaming anybody, and I'm not dispersed about that. I haven't done what I said. Lord, I pray that in the time that we have in the house of God, number one, that we won't look at it as an inconvenience. God may our coming to the house of God and worshiping our Lord, singing in the choir or going to Sunday school, singing a special or taking up the offering, opening the door, picking up paper off the floor, cleaning a toilet, whatever it is that we can do for the Lord Jesus, may we never deem it an inconvenience. Lord, I'd love to do more for you, but you know, I got things to do myself. Well, we have to be very careful. We're not doing like those Roman soldiers would do. But I'll tell you right now, Lord, I know in my heart, had you treated that day going to Calvary like many of us treat serving you and doing for others, you would have deemed that day an inconvenience and we'd still be lost and going to hell. you didn't. You turned the other cheek. You gave the other eye. You gave the other tooth. You did not withhold. Lord, help us, even though I didn't get really to what I wanted to say tonight, hope we can go out of here and say, you know, I heard enough tonight to know that I want to be good to people when they're not good to me. I want to turn the other cheek. And then if they offend there, I'll turn the other one again and start over again. I heard a preacher say last night about being in control and not letting the world and the devil get us so out of tune until we become, and serving God becomes an inconvenience. Oh God, please, Lord, I told my brother, he said, when you come at 4, I said, I'll come anytime. He said, really? Anytime? He said, what about 2 in the morning? I said, I'd come. Because I don't ever want a lost person at getting them to Jesus and convenience. Plus, Lord, to be the kind of Christian that we need to be, but we won't be in convenience. We love you. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.